You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
Last week, we established, Ben and I together in our two separate locations, that peace is a person. Peace isn't just an idea, but peace actually is a person. His name is the Prince of Peace. This was the prophecy of Jesus. This was what was promised hundreds of years before the angel appeared to the shepherds. There's going to be one who's going to come. A child is going to be born. His name will be called, among other things, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. And so if we're looking for peace today, we've got to start with a person. But what we really want to establish today is it's not quite that simple. It's not as easy as saying, oh, there's someone named the Prince of Peace, therefore I'm going to experience peace in my life. Everyone in our house knows for the most part that a decade ago, I fell into a hole of depression and anxiety that almost took me out of life. I would have said at that point in life, not only did I know Jesus, I'd committed my life to Jesus. Not only had I committed my life to Jesus, I was following Jesus. Not only was I following Jesus, I was serving Jesus. Not only was I serving Jesus, I was going all over the whole world preaching about Jesus. But yet, for some reason, I didn't have the peace of God operational in my life. And so today we're just understanding that even though the idea of peace and the person of peace is in the midst today, it's possible that somebody in one of these gatherings may not be experiencing peace in your life. And that's the step we want to take today. That's the two ideas that we want to bridge together today. When we sing Silent Night, and we're going to do that. If you haven't already done it in this season, you're going to do it soon. In fact, everyone here knows the lyrics, right? We won't sing them together, but Silent Night, just say it with me. Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Do you know the rest, or you get nervous now? You want me just to lead it? Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, you take it. Sleep in heavenly peace. Man, when this moment comes at the Christmas Eve gathering or the Christmas Day Spectacular or the Grove Christmas, it's always such a poignant moment. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. And all is bright. A, all wasn't calm on the night that Jesus was born. We established that last week. It was one of the least peaceful nights that you could imagine to have a kid on. And secondly, you know, this round yon virgin mother and child idea, it's a little too neat and sanitized. I had the privilege of having a genius dad artist, and so I got picked when I was in second grade, I don't know why I remembered this, to be in charge of the Christmas door decoration of our classroom. This was back in another era when you could actually decorate the classroom door at your school for Christmas. And they said, Giglio, you're in charge of the Christmas door decoration. Your sister was a year ahead of you. She did something fantastic last year. You're in charge this year. So I'm like, Dad, I need a Christmas door decoration. My dad comes home with a piece of illustration paper about the size of a poster board thing that you would buy at the grocery store, brings home also some markers, and then on the kitchen table in our apartment in Smyrna, Georgia, my dad just like starts doing, you know, like his thing, and he's just going crazy, and I'm watching and like, what are you doing? I can't tell what it is. And he gets through and he holds it up. He goes, how do you like this? My dad just markers out in less than 10 minutes, the most phenomenal Madonna you've ever seen before. I mean, it's Mary. She's got the headscarf thing like you would expect, all kind of folding down over her shoulders. And there's a little baby in her arms, and he looks angelic, and there's like a glow to the whole thing. It's just like the most, I'm like, that's going to work right there. That's it. That's going to work. Everybody else has got the tinsel left over from their Christmas tree last year around their doors with that weird little, you know, crepe paper, you know, that goes around the edges. It is only in existence because of schools, by the way. And so here I roll in, and it's like, hey, did you bring the door decoration? I said, yes, I did. I hope it's okay. And then I just unroll Madonna and child. Second grade door, Belmont Hills Elementary School. Yes, absolutely. Amen. We made it. We made it. And it looks so stunning what my dad did. It looks so peaceful. It looks so angelic and glorious and phenomenal and not real. Because there's never been a moment like that in history. Now, I mean, now we're in the Instagram generation, so I don't know how they do it, but moms do have babies, and 20 minutes later, they look phenomenal. But it wasn't so much a silent night. It wasn't all this calm. It wasn't this phenomenal, beautiful, angelic moment. And we have no idea whether anybody slept in heavenly peace or not. That baby may have cried all night long. Mary may have been thinking all night long, I'm alone. I'm here with Joseph. Joseph's a cool guy, but it's me and him and a baby in a cave out of town. I don't know how much heavenly peace was going on, but the promise of the moment from God was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men on whom his favor rests. So there was something about that night, that moment, that baby, what he was going to grow up to be and grow up to do that could establish peace for you with God, with the people around you, and ultimately put the entire world back together in the state of shalom that God intended in the first place. And this is the calling card of our Savior. Listen to what he says in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus said, "And I've spoken all of this while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you," key phrase here, "of everything I said to you." And then he comes with his promise in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The phrase I skipped over is the key phrase in this text. He says, it's my peace I'm giving to you, and it's not as the world gives. In other words, whatever the world is telling you today, if you can get the girl, if you can get the relationship, if you can have the baby, if you can fix the circumstances, if you can get the job and get ahead, then that's when everything's going to resolve for you into a state of peace. He says, no, this peace I'm offering is not like the world gives. Again, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his followers, John 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. These are the first words to the followers after the resurrection. So you're thinking, man, what is he going to say? Shows up, comes through the door, comes through the wall, hears his followers and says, "That was impressive, wasn't it?" No, first words that Jesus speaks to them post-resurrection are, "Peace be with you." So this Prince of Peace, who died to give us peace with God and to give us a platform by which we can have peace with each other, is alive today, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven so that he can continue to offer shalom to you and shalom to me in our lives. But if this is the calling card of Jesus, the work of Jesus, why are so many of us living without peace in our lives? And how do you get it, if it's even possible? Well, I think to answer the first question, it's pretty simple. A few reasons why we're living without peace. A lot of reasons, but just to highlight a few, because you're going to need to take action in this message today. At some point today, you're going to need to move from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word. At some point today, you're going to need to come off of row 37 going, let's see what he has to say today. And you're going to have to say, I'm going to have to start taking charge of the peace quotient in my life. And to do that, you're going to have to add some things and subtract some things from life. Why is peace missing? I'll tell you a few reasons. One, we have instant access to all of the anti-shalom that sin is wrecking into the world. That's one of the reasons we don't have peace. Any time of the day or night, we have instantaneous access to all of the anti-shalom on planet Earth. If sin either wrecks into the earth with a tidal wave or an earthquake or a tsunami or a forest fire, we have instant access no matter where it is in the world. Video, live updates. But if somebody does harm to somebody, we have instantaneous awareness of that everywhere in the world. A second reason we don't have peace is because of this instantaneous access, this shrinking world. You know, they keep saying the world is shrinking, the world is shrinking, the world is shrinking. The world is shrinking, but our anxiety is expanding at the same time that the world is shrinking. Because not only do we have instantaneous access to anti-shalom all the time and everywhere, we're also left to compare our circumstance and situation with others' very best. And that's one of the reasons a lot of us don't have peace. We're sitting here looking at our life and, you know, the kid's got food in his hair and it's all over the new piece of furniture that we just bought, and we're losing our mind and thinking, I'm going to have to, you know, go take a nap. And then all of a sudden, right before we do, we get on Instagram and some other family has all their kid in matching outfits riding a reindeer in a snowy forest where they chop down their Christmas tree because their husband is a boss and amazing. And he's got the tree on his shoulder going back to their new Jeep Wrangler that they just bought, where they're going to put it on the top. And it has one of those wreaths on the front of the Jeep Wrangler with little twinkly lights on it. And you're looking over at your husband and your kid's outside the door scraping the paint off your bedroom door with its fingernails going, Mama! 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 And you're like, Silent night, holy night. The third reason why we don't have peace is because of this shrinking world, you can be evaluated at any moment in real time by people who know you and by people who don't. Oh, so you put the Christmas tree on top of the car. Oh, well, is that a good idea? Oh, I'm praying for you. The Rose of Sharon will speak into your life, and the Prince of the Lilies of the Valley will come down and speak shalom into your world. Thank you so much for that. God bless you. Now, who are you again? I'm crazy mayor of the universe, and I just drop in on people's worlds and evaluate them in real time. I'll tell you a fourth reason we don't have peace is because there's no off button to this shrinking world. I love being older, because when you're older, you can't fight it. But there's a lot of good things about being older, and some of the older people are gonna just say amen to this, and a lot of the younger people will have to go look it up on the internet. just go out on the World Wide Web later and go surf out there and see if you can find this. But there used to be a time when somewhere around the end of night, like 11:30, television would go off. And you knew it. All the people who survived to now are clapping. The last of us are still here. And we're like, I can still clap. I can't do a lot, and I don't have social media, but I can clap. And at the very end of the night, a screen would come up, and it would basically say, off air. You flip all the channels, off air, off air, off air. Everybody's off air. Just snow going on the TV till tomorrow. I mean, there was a time, I believe, where the world wasn't shrinking so much that they just said, we're done. Good night. And when you went to your bed, if you didn't have a corded phone in your room or a phone where you could bring the cord under the door from your sister's room into your room, there was no one to call, no one to text, no Instagram to check, no access to the other side of the world that was wide awake having their noonday whatever they're doing, no email, just real mail. And maybe there wasn't more peace back then. But at least there weren't so many enemies beating down the door. And into this, God speaks. He always speaks into the crazy. And so into your crazy town, whatever that is, God is speaking again today. Because he never relents to the circumstance. He doesn't say, oh, it's 2018. I need to get with the program. I just need to pick the pace up a little bit and get the hustle and the bustle up a little bit and lower my expectations about what I said on night one, that there would be peace on earth among men. I just need to sort of water that down to the reality of a new world order. He's saying, no, I'm still speaking into the new world order. And here's my promise, Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So there is an offer on the table today. A possibility for being anxious about nothing, yet praying about everything. And having a peace that is bigger than human comprehension, literally taking up the post of protection over our heart and guarding our minds in Christ Jesus. That the peace of God, not fluttering in like a little angel, hi, I'm here to bring peace. No, a soldier coming into your world saying, I'm here to stand guard. I'm here to stand guard over your heart. That means all your feelings and everything trying to get at your feelings, I'm going to stand here and guard your heart and your mind and every crazy thought that's trying to get into your head. I'm going to stand here and guard your mind in a relationship and in connectivity with Christ. This peace that passes understanding, human comprehension, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ. That's a possibility. It's on the table today. That is real, but you have to activate it in your life. And so how do you do that? A few things. Number one, it's going to require, just reaching back to last week a little bit, that you recalibrate your concept of Jesus. Because the peace that guards our heart and our minds isn't a thing. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I just want us to look at verse 7 one more time. And the peace of God, which we know is a person, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So if all this is happening in Christ, then we have to recalibrate our understanding of Christ. Now, where we started in our understanding of Christ, a lot of us, just reaching back again, was right here on the flannel board. Anybody come around in the flannel board era besides me? Flannel board was what happened before electricity. And so they would say, when you were little kids, we're going to have a Bible story today, kids. And the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat. And kids would go, wow, did you see that? She just stuck a boat up on the water. They'd come home and tell their parents, Mom, Dad, we're going to this church. This place is off the charts. There's a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's cruising. But then a storm blew up. It's not real stormy right now, but let's just say that it was. A big storm cloud came. And everybody panicked. But Jesus came walking on the water. And kids, you can walk on the water. Now Peter, he got down out of the boat. And he came to Jesus, but then he turned to take a selfie with the guys in the boat. And when he turned around, he lost contact with the Savior, and he started to sink and drown. But Jesus came to him on the water. And he grabbed Peter in his arms. And he carried him to the boat. And then Peter praised him, arms raised and outstretched to heaven, and said, you are a great and awesome God. Let's pray together. Anyone like to put your faith in Jesus today, children? I'll lead you in a prayer. And so this is where we started. But then as we progressed, we outgrew flannel board and moved into Sunday school, legit. And every Sunday school room had one of these in it. And if not the Sunday school room, the room where the deacons met had one. Kids, this is your guy. When you get that cancer diagnosis, this is going to be your guy right here. And I believe that if we're going to get into a zone where we actually experience peace, somebody's going to have to recalibrate your concept of Jesus. Because for a lot of us, if we get down to real talk, he's one-dimensional. Or he's historical. Or conceptual. Or maybe just a caricature. And caricatures don't help you when your husband walks out on you. Historical people and historical figures don't help you when your job vanishes, or when a relationship dissolves, or when the pressure of a diagnosis is now in your story, or there's an unwanted pregnancy like there was on this Christmas night. Or when whatever the situation is that you didn't see coming, that you can't manage, that you can't control, whether it's pressure inside or pressure from the outside, a one-dimensional caricature isn't going to help you. And so you say, I believe in Jesus. I was actually at church last week, but I've got zero peace going on in my life right now. And somehow today, God has got to open our eyes of revelation so that you can see a 3D, 4K Jesus. Someone who is a real personality, who is moving through history in power, who is contemporary with your last thought, but more advanced than you could ever imagine, because he's already ahead of you into all of the thoughts that you're going to have in your life. And you couldn't say, well, me and my buddies are going to see Post Malone, and Jesus wouldn't go, Post Malone. No, he could tell you everything about every fiber of Post Malone's being, because he created everything that is. And I think there are just a lot of people floating around in D.C. today saying, man, we work in the halls of power. We deal with the high and the mighty. We make decisions that change nations. I think there are people all around Atlanta today running businesses out in the midst of culture, changing the world in real time. And for a lot of us, Jesus is great as long as he's on the wall in a classroom somewhere, looking nice and serene, and old holy night, all Olin Mills up in there with his hair absolutely, completely perfect. Or he's over here back in the day, because we all loved him when he walked on the water in the flannel board story. But I'm telling you, he's real, and he's gritty, and he's mighty, and he's powerful, and he's knowable, and he's personable. And therefore, when we say this peace that guards the heart and guards the mind in Christ, we're talking about the greatest person you're ever going to know in your life, who's on board with everything that matters to you today, and who's running history because he conquered the grave. And he's coming back to this planet to restore shalom once and for all. And you can put your trust in him. The second thing that's got to happen if you're going to have this idea of peace in your life is that you've got to release your concerns to him. So what concept do you have? Before there was internet and YouTube and all that sort of thing, people would just listen to me preach on cassette tapes back in the day. And I'll never forget, I would go somewhere to preach and I would meet someone. They'd say, I've been listening to you on cassette tape. I've been listening to your sermon series. And wow, I didn't know you were going to look like this. Because when you listen, you get an idea. And now I just simply get, I thought you'd be taller. But I used to always get, man, I could have swore that you were this big, fat Italian man. And I was like, just wait. Just wait. You know, this was before YouTube and video and DVD. But people had this mentality. I know who this guy is. I've been listening to him hour after hour after hour in my car, and I got this guy. And then I would fly out to Cleveland, and I would show up at their event, and they'd be like, no, you are not the guy that I've been listening to. You were like 312 pounds and a big, happy, jolly, fat Italian dude. I just knew it. And I'm like, well, I am Italian and fairly happy, slightly less than 312 right now. But what, in your mind, what do you see when you see Jesus? How real is he? I mean, how far off the flannel board has he come? And is he as real to you as the person sitting next to you right now? Or even more real than that? See, until that is our reality, then we've just simply got an idol in our minds. And some one-dimensional Jesus isn't going to bring you 1% of peace. You've got to get somebody a little more mighty in your relationship than that. And when you do, you can release your concerns to him. Look at the text again. It says, be anxious about no thing. Well, how do you do that? You only can do that by the next line. But in everything, let your requests or your prayers and petitions be known to God. So the only way that you can be anxious about no thing is if you're trusting God with everything, and you're not going to be trusting God with everything unless the person that you're in a relationship with is someone who can be trusted. So 1 Peter 5 says it this way, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Anxiety in both texts is simply the word that means to pull apart. So whatever's pulling you apart, whatever's pulling your peace apart and your heart apart and your mind apart, cast that, throw that, put that on the person of God. Bring it to God. And so that's what we have in the text. With every situation or in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take them to the highest authority, which I offer today is the desk of the King of Kings, and rest them there. It's as if something is making you anxious. Something is robbing you of your shalom. And you take that something, and you don't stuff it down and say, well, I'm going to handle it. I'll deal with it. I'll take care of it. But you take it to the desk of the King of the universe, who you have access to through Jesus Christ, and you let your request be known to the King of the universe. With prayer, which is the general term for our conversation with God, and with petition, he says, which is that specific, granular, detailed prayer, adding in the thanks, which says, I acknowledge who's sitting at the desk. And I know this looks a little formal, but it's not like God is up here in the heavens, you know, like with minions running around, you know, kind of feet up on the desk saying, hey, what's up? How's it going? What's your name again? Thanks. Just put it on the desk. No, we're not trying to formalize God. We're trying to officialize the throne of God. That this is the last place. Not too long ago, I was out of the country and I ended up missing a flight because there was a lot of traffic getting to the airport. But we didn't need to miss the flight because when we got to the desk of the airline, there was still time. Not the 2 months early that they ask you to be there for an international flight, but there was still time. I fly. I knew exactly how far it was to the gate. I've been in this airport a lot of times. I knew it was less than 100 yards from where I was standing to the plane, and it was still about 50 minutes before the plane left. I'm a high-level flyer, not the highest, but I do get around. And there's a lady there, a person there, I didn't want to get specific. There's a person there helping us. She was a lady, and she was helping us, and she just completely shut down on us. Like, you're not standing there. You are invisible. I can't hear you. And I'm like, please, I'm just saying, there's got to be a way. I mean, it's right there. I know how far it is to the gate. We've got TSA pre-check. We're going to get through. We're going to make it. You've got to let us on this flight. I can't talk to you right now. And so I was in the spirit. I said, well, when you get through with all that, I'd like to share with you how you can know Jesus personally, because I'm a pastor. You know, we were losing our minds in every way possible. And all the while, I had her boss's number in my phone. The CEO's number. And I'm just thinking, I'm calling him. Right? I've never had a thought like that in my life. I'm thinking, I'm calling him right now. excuse me one moment while you're working on that. I'm calling the CEO of your company and maybe you'll have a second to talk to them. And then the Lord prevailed and I put my phone back in my pocket and sat down like she asked me to and stopped talking. And missed that flight and happily got on another flight and everything was fine. We're living in a great world. But the whole time, I'm like you. I wanted to get my request. I'm like, somebody else has got to show up here. Have you ever done that? I need to see the manager. No, I don't know who you are. I need to talk to your boss. I don't know where you are. I need somebody who actually works for the company. I need to talk to a supervisor. I need somebody who can make a decision who is in charge. You want to get your request up to the top. And what God is saying, here's an amazing idea. You can get your request all the way up to the top of the authority chain of command in the entire universe. As a son or daughter of God, you can let your request be made known to God. Yeah. Not to Gabriel, not even Peter at the pearly gates. Can you get a message to the king? No, you can get your message all the way to God. And who's sitting at the desk? The Almighty is sitting at the desk. Who's sitting at the desk? Your Abba Father is sitting at the desk. Who's sitting at the desk? The one who made peace with you by offering Jesus Christ. That's who's at the desk. Who's sitting at the desk? The God who is love and cares more about you than anyone else on the planet is at the helm. Grant was preaching this text and he said something that I thought was so great, I want to repeat it. He was quoting Tim Keller and he said, if we knew what God knows, this quote blew me away, I'd never heard it before, we would ask exactly for what he gives. If we knew what God knows, we would ask for exactly what he gives. If we believed he's almighty, if we believed he's our Abba Father, if we believe that he made peace with us at the sacrifice of his own son, and if we believe that he loved us and we couldn't be separated from his love, and add to that, if we knew the whole story of Christmas is a story of salvation for the world. Not about just a little happy peace moment for me in my life, but for everyone on the planet to know that they can have peace with God. If we knew what God knew about everything God knows, we would ask for what God has given us. We would have that kind of confidence that my request that I address to my Father has made it all the way to the highest place of authority in the universe. It didn't mean I didn't care about it. It just means I put my care on the desk of the only one who could do something about it. And then I trusted who was at the desk. It didn't mean I stopped caring about it. It just meant I stopped being anxious about it because I knew where my request was. So I'm releasing constantly, moment by moment, day by day, releasing. More requests are coming. This is not like a one-time thing. There's just requests of mine all over the desk of the God of the universe as I'm trusting things to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. God, I believe you. I trust you. You're big. You're mighty. You're powerful. You can do something, but you also see more than I see. You understand more than I understand. You're working different plans that I wouldn't be able to really get in touch with right now. So I trust you. I believe you. The cross is always informing me that you are good and great and turn bad things into great things. So I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you. I'm counting on you. Like in Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But then look at the last thing, and we'll close with this, and we've got to wrap things up. But not only do we release things to God, but we replace what has now been released with something else. So we're releasing our prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, what was making us anxious, and now we're taking on board. Look at what the text says. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So now I'm not just saying I'm not gonna worry about that, because that's not how life works. You don't break a habit by breaking a habit. You break a habit by replacing it with another habit. And you don't just stop worrying about things by stop worrying about them. You stop worrying about them when you start thinking about something else. And he's giving us all of the things that we think about. And they come down to us in these three words that we're looking for: a consistent way to put the good things of God in our life. And some of you don't have that. Like, you do not have a plan for tomorrow. You're gonna try to release, but you're not gonna have a replace tomorrow. And so the thing you release is gonna swim right back up and go, hello. You're gonna know, I released you. I know, and we knew the way back. Because you don't have a replace plan already in your mind. Tomorrow, I'm gonna meet with God. Tomorrow, I'm gonna open the Word of God. Tomorrow, I'm gonna start reading the Gospels. Tomorrow, I'm gonna read the Christmas story. Tomorrow, I'm gonna start reading the Psalms. Tomorrow, I'm gonna start listening to Scripture in my car on the way on my commute to work. Or I'm gonna listen on the train on my commute to work. I have a replacement plan in mind. It's Advent season. It couldn't be a better season than to take the Advent journey. You're like, well, we're already a few days in. Yeah, but hey, you haven't missed that much. December 10th, tomorrow, on the Advent journey, I've got a plan. I'm releasing what's making me anxious, but I'm gonna replace it with something else tomorrow. And tomorrow, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. You're watching your heart, and you're trying to guard your mind and trying to guard your family and your city and your business and your relationships, but you're not doing a good job. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, but God grants sleep to those he loves. Didn't plan it. It's just tomorrow's Advent reading. How do you sleep in heavenly peace? It's not some crazy airbrushed drawing of Madonna and Child. It's realizing that God guards your house, that God guards your family, that God guards your business, that God, even when you sleep, God works. And so the reflection is so powerful and beautiful. God is the giver, part of it says, of life and breath. And with these, God gives to every creature what they need. A tiny sparrow does not fall from the sky without him noticing. And he clothes the hillside with an array of beauty and vibrant color. You are his beloved, his son or daughter by faith in Christ. Trust your perfect Father's heart. He will give you exactly what you need. And as you seek him, he will even give you the desires of your heart. That's what you need going into your mind in the morning. Before you get the Asian market update, which a lot of you guys are checking at 3-4 in the morning, you need to get the God Almighty update. Before you check your first text and see how quick you got to get into work, you need to check the Almighty update, see who's running your world. Before your iCal opens and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot I've got to be across town at 10:30. You need to check in with the God of the universe. You need consistency and you need some creativity, and maybe this will be a nice ride up to Christmas, and then you need something else on the backside, ready to go. Daily devotion, a reading plan on YouVersion, some sort of soap with your friends, but that creativity that keeps it interesting. And then lastly, you need a company. My friend said this week, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time around. And so you got to ask the question, the people I'm hanging out with, are they talking about what's true? Do they talk about what's noble? Do they talk about what's right and pure and lovely and admirable? The people, the five people I spend the most time with in life, are they talking about excellent and praiseworthy things? I need to get in the company of people who know the Prince of Peace, who know a Jesus who's not one-dimensional, who can remind me of God's word, can remind me of a sovereign plan, who can encourage me, hey, your request is on the desk of the Almighty. You can lay down tonight and know that he's doing the best thing for everybody involved, and he's going to give you what you need.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.